David said in Psalm 27, he said, "This one thing I have asked that I shall continue to seek." He was 60 years old when he said this. "That I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will live in the proximity of his presence all the days of my life. Behold his beauty and inquire of him." In other words, behold his beauty, then we'll talk about it. And really what we're here to do this week is to just behold his beauty. And one of the great aspects of the beauty of the Lord is how he loves to communicate with us and the ways he communicates with us, and he's so creative. Really grateful for, this is something we longed to do years ago. We do two conferences a year. We'll do a healing conference every single fall. We just believe that's one of those subjects that we have to just marinate in again and again. And then what we'll do in the spring, we're not sure. We may not do this kind of conference. We may do something else for a couple years, or 2 or 3 years, and come back and do prophecy thing again. But I'm just really grateful that you're here and that you honored us by coming. I'm really, really, really glad that Dr. Mike Hutchins and this time his wife, Roxanne. Where are you at, Roxanne? Oh, she's right there, sorry. And I took my glasses off because I can read this, but I can't see anything. And that's right. That's a good thing, because if anybody snarls or doesn't like it or goes to sleep, I can't tell. So I think everybody's excited about every word that I say. They're like on their tiptoes. But we're so glad that you came. And we all fell in love with Mike last fall, and hope again this is the second of many times he gets to come, and Roxanne too, and just to be with us and to be with part of what God's doing in Selma. And we're grateful for what we're seeing happen in CTK, but that's just one of the little stories that goes with the big story that there's a revival going on in Selma. And so we just sort of flow in that anointing. Any kind of anointing that we have, it comes under that umbrella. And so we're just grateful for those of you who are not from Selma, that you came to be at this wonderful place, which means the throne. And hopefully we'll spend some time before the throne this week and just behold him, burn before him like the Holy Spirit does, and like the angels do. And we'll just comprehend some things about him. There are so many prophetic resources. I'll share some with you, particularly tomorrow. So many prophetic conferences. I know that many of you have been to prophetic conferences and that kind of thing. My heart's desire this week is to not be unique for unique sake, or we don't want to have a better conference or whatever. We're just called to do this, and that we'll impart something to you that goes deeper than just the prophetic, that God does something in you in terms of you're falling in love with Jesus. That's our first priority. That's the first commandment. You'll discover how much he loves you. And that God will do something, that you'll have an encounter with the Lord this week. You know, last year at our prophetic conference, we had a lot of people get healed. And there'll be a lot of things that God will do this week that'll be not just about the prophetic, but it'll just about encountering him, refreshing him, restoring you, about just, again, be a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. We have records of Peter in Scripture having just been filled with the Spirit. 5 different times it talked about Peter as if he just got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, that's what happens. And that God will just fill you again. We'll see healings. I know that Mike will be praying for impartation, and we'll be praying for that and for some of the things that we talk about, that you'll flow more and more. Christianity is not something you can memorize. There are things we learn, right? And what you have to be careful about the prophetic and with the resources and some of the things that we go to, it's all about memorizing certain things. Christianity is a relationship. The relationship is all about intimacy. And there are things that you can learn, but if you so focus on that, your whole ministry, your whole walk with him will be very mechanical and very sterile. But it's a living thing. And the reality is that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And so you're invited in this amazing relationship in oneness with him, in union with him, and expecting him to be everything that he's ever been in you, his body. And we are, one of the things we've discovered or been talking about in the book of Acts, which we've been preaching from lately, is that the whole book of Acts is just a continuation of the life, the message, and the ministry of Jesus through you and me, who make up his church. And so my prayer again this week is just to encounter him. So, Lord, I do pray for encounters with you, fresh things, new things, And Lord, just pull down all agendas in us. Just the agenda to be with your presence and to sit at your feet, hear your voice. Lord, be filled again. Holy Spirit, like the wind, blow where you will. Lord, we lay down our will or any of our expectations except we expect to meet you. And just go where you want to go, Lord. Just take us where you want to take us. In Jesus' name, amen. This particular conference, last year we talked a lot about just basic things about the prophetic, releasing you to give prophetic words to each other, how to hear different things. We talked about different levels of prophetic. We'll talk about that some. Our schedule is kind of like, I'm going to be here this morning, both sessions. And then we have our Eucharist together, which is one of the ways that God feeds us. Mike will be teaching both days in Eucharist, and we'll just have a big time. And we'll practice the prophetic, stuff that we learned a lot last year, and that you might know about moving in personal prophetic words. We might put you to work, too, and just get you to go. One of the things I loved was Wimber used to say, we all get to play. But our part is to teach you how to play nice. Okay? Because sometimes people who get involved in prophetic, they don't play very nice. And so the whole point of what we're doing here is to help you play nice. To play, teach you how to play, help you to play, but to play nice. But this year, we're emphasizing particularly the seer gifts, particularly things like dreams and visions and trances and angelic visitations, visitations from the Lord, those kind of things that we put in the realm of seer gifts or beyond just what we talked about in terms of normal prophetic stuff. And so that's what we're after. And vision, dreams, and symbols. Tomorrow we'll talk about symbols a little bit more. I'm not going to go through long lists of symbols. There are a lot of books out there on symbols. It's amazing how many of those books say different things about symbols. And in the end, you're going to have to learn how to hear God. And the best thing we can reemphasize in terms of moving in the prophetic or any of the gifts of the Spirit is you learn how to hear God. You learn how to be dependent on Him. And God's not afraid of you making mistakes. He's a big boy. He can handle it. He just wants your attitude to be right in the process. And for you to be honest enough to admit, sometimes you can miss it. It's really okay. As long as you're walking in love, it's okay if you miss it, if you're going for it in faith. Alrighty? Alright, there's just a few things I'm going to go through. I wrote a bunch of stuff down. I don't know how far we're going to get today and this session, the next session, and then this afternoon. This afternoon we start at 2:30, is that right, Karen? And who's the first speaker? Mike? Mike's the first speaker or me? You're the first speaker, okay. And then we kind of repeat the schedule tomorrow. Tonight's at 7 o'clock, so make sure you come. And we're starting back at 2:30. I think last year, both conferences, we started at 2, and people were killing themselves trying to get back from lunch. Selma's got good food, but really slow service. And so for those of you who fell in love with Laney's, we figured you needed 2:30 at least. So if you're going to go to Laney's, I would suggest once Eucharist is over, you light out. Yeah. You might even call in your order on the way. And then maybe you'll make it back by 2:30. But it is worth it because it is the best restaurant in the whole world.
We got to go.
Yeah, we're okay. Yeah, you ate at Dreamland yesterday, didn't you?
What's that?
Did you eat at Dreamland yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
no,
that's
no. We're at another place.
Okay. Oh, you need like. Okay. Oh, okay. So we can ensure the anointing this afternoon. We'll get Laney's in you today. All right. So here's the deal. Like, if you want to visit with Mike big time after Eucharist, don't. You'll be more important than Laney's tomorrow, but Laney's is more important than you today. Meet with him between sessions, after church tonight, but he's headed to Laney's. Got it? And so. That's right. But it's around the edges of the kingdom of God. All right. Again, here's our goal for our time this week is one, is to activate and release. It says in Corinthians that we all may prophesy. And again, I'm going to share some all kind of resources tomorrow that's better organized than I am, even though I'm extremely organized as a person. You should laugh out loud. You could snicker, but not laugh out loud. And our broad goal is 1 Corinthians 14. Scripture says that to pursue love, to desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. And I know there are a lot of people out there, in the charismatic world even, that are just really scared of their church and their ministry being messed up if they get too involved in the prophetic. Let me just say to you, it's God's will. And your church and your ministry is going to get much more messed up if you don't learn how to flow in the prophetic. Because it's one of the primary ways that God communicates. And so we don't want to block out ways that God speaks to us. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to raise up radical and responsible prophetic voices. You can be both and. Radical and responsible prophetic voices. Now, to be responsible, it means that leadership and accountability is all involved. It's easy in some ways, emotionally, not to fool with this kind of stuff. Because then you don't have to worry about fixing those things or trying to make things better. But there's a cost, there's a price that's much higher than any kind of mess. We talked about this last year, remember? If you want to have the power, you got to be willing to put up with some poop. And if you're so afraid of poop, that's the number one thing is that you want to keep it clean. That's not Jesus' priority. His priority is life, not clean. So it's going to get a little poopy. That's just the way it is. It's not, the reality is how much do you want to move in the power of God? And God's voice just issues forth, releases power. And again, you're just going to be willing to put up with some poop. Now, we don't want poop just for poop's sake, right? But we can handle the poop. We've had poop around here. We have less and less as the years go by because we've learned some things. But it's going to happen every once in a while. Paul had a pretty powerful, mature ministry. And yet in Philippi, you had that dear lady who was running around endorsing him, but she was demonic. There's just some endorsements you don't need. And she was one of them. And so that was a little bit of poop. And there were all kinds of stuff. Jesus initiates poop sometimes. There's holy poop, like cutting a hole in the roof. Letting that happen so that a guy could get healed. You know? And so, but we want to do what we can to release as much, be as radical as we can, and to be as poopy-less as we can possibly be. But there's going to be some. But you know what? Some of the biggest poop I've ever experienced were guys just preaching sermons who put people under guilt and condemnation and just taught crazy stuff. Teaching people that these things aren't operative or aren't for the church today is a bigger pile of poop than if somebody messes up. Because if somebody messes up, you can clean that up and be a teaching point. But if somebody teaches you that it's not to function or they won't let it function, they've created a poop that's long-lasting, has a broad effect on everybody. And so anyway, we're going after radical yet responsible prophetic voices. There's some things I think that are important that we have to know, though, in our own heart as priorities, because I watch this a lot, having been at this for a long time. The Scripture says in that first Corinthians, I'll just read this to you instead of trusting that you trust me. I know that you do, but just in case. Again, it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. It says in 1 John 4 that we love, 1 John 5 that we love because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4, I'm sorry. It talks about in 1 John 4 about being perfected in love. This scripture says we're to desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, but we're called to pursue love. And that's part of the cleaning things up, growing up. I've watched people, particularly for some reason, who move in the prophetic or want to move in the prophetic, they can just be ornery and rude. But you know, Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is not rude. Love doesn't seek its own. And the gifts of the Spirit are for others. And therefore, they're to be ministered to in love and sensitivity. As we may have said this last year, but Christianity is lived with your minds resting in the heavenlies and your heart kneeling in the dirt. That's the way it works.
Good.
It's about others. When William Booth, the guy who founded Salvation Army, they had this international convention for many, many years, and finally, I think he was like 86 years old, and it was the first one he had never been able to attend. And not long after that, he passed away. He went to be with the Lord. But the guy, I forget his name, who was the second in charge, as he was leading this conference that had thousands and thousands and thousands. At that time, Salvation Army was really an instrument of revival. They carried revival with them. They weren't just revival experiencers, they were revival carriers. And that's what we're after. We don't want to be just experience revival personally or corporately. We want to carry revival. And having all these things released, which are a full expression of who Christ is, are important. We're going to walk in that. And so this guy who was second in charge, he had a note. He said, here's a note from General Booth. And I want to read to you what he has to say because he believes this will probably he will never be able to be in another one of these conferences. And so he opened up this note, and all these voices, all these people were waiting. They were all ears to hear. And the note said one thing, others. And the gifts of the Spirit are about others. And if the gifts of the Spirit are about you getting your self-worth needs met, and there's nothing wrong with it. It feels good to give a word and for to be accurate or pray for somebody to get healed. I mean, cha-ching, it's so cool to participate in the life of Jesus. I'm sure when Jesus prayed for people and they got healed, he felt good about them getting healed. He felt good about participating in the Father. He felt good about him carrying the Father's presence and the Father doing the work through him. That's an awesome, abundant life. But it's not first and foremost about you getting your self-worth needs met. If it is, then you become dangerous. And people in positions like me spend a lot of time keeping you and teaching you and trying to help you walk in maturity because so many people, and because the prophetic is the easiest one in the world to walk in, we call this an entree gift. One of the reasons I like to teach about this because it's easy to move in the prophetic. Let me just say this to you. Even dreams and visions and these things, it's not complicated. One of the things that bugs me is to read all the books, and I get about three-quarters of the way through the book, or maybe the first quarter, I'm going, oh my gosh, if I have to memorize all of this, and obviously people who can't read or write will never, ever going to be able to move in the gifts. But you understand about 90 to 95% of the Christian world in 2,000 years couldn't read or write. And so visions and dreams and trances, those kind of things, are particularly God's way of ministering to the poor. Speaking to them. They can't read their Bible. You know, for a long, 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 long time, most Christians didn't have a Zondervan, a copy of the Zondervan in their back pocket. They didn't carry a big scroll around, a leather-bound scroll. And so this is one of the ways God communicates to us. So we want to make sure that we understand what this is all about. Because let me just say this to you, especially the prophetic. You know, my personality type is I always tell people, all I ever wanted to do is die one day, and on my tombstone it said, he was a really nice guy, and we all really liked him. And I never thought I would ever get in trouble with anybody ever, because everybody told me all my life I was a really nice guy, had a really pleasant personality, I seemed to be really sweet. It doesn't help at all. Because people get offended. They do these kind of things. The older I get, the more that's true. And so it can't be about you. Because there have been several times over the years in the prophetic where I just said, I just want to quit. This is too hard. I really do want people to think I'm a nice guy. We're kind of throwing that one out the window. Livia's helped me with that a lot because she didn't care if anybody likes her or not. Livy would swing across hell on a string, spit in the devil's eye. Even if the devil manifests itself looking a lot like you. So if you have a desire to talk bad about me or to me, don't say anything to Olivia about it, okay? Because what I won't do to you, she will do to you. So again, our heart is to pursue love. Here's the thing I wanted you to hear. Let me read this from Romans chapter 8. So when we have Peter, Lord said, the main thing is for the main thing to be the main thing. It says in Romans chapter 8, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now understand what he says here. Every one of us have a destiny. That's one of the most popular words in the charismatic world. We're talking about people's destiny. Your destiny this, your destiny that. I wonder how many sermons have been done in the last 15 years about your destiny. Well, let me tell you what your destiny is. You may have different vocational ways or expressions, the way God carries out who you're, what you're going to do in particular. Some of you are called to do this particular thing and do that particular thing. But every one of you have a pre-destiny. And that destiny is to be Christ-like. And that, and not the gifts, not prophecy, is to be your primary focus. I believe when he says pursue love, first and foremost, he's talking about pursue your love relationship with Jesus. Because you see, that's where loving people flows out of anyway. The first and great commandment is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And if you don't pursue that as first, Mike Bickle says, if the first commandment doesn't have first place in your life, what will happen to you, you will try to find identity in ministry. You'll try to find your identity in other people's ministry. You'll try to become like them, sound like them, say everything they say, instead of moving out of a mature place of security in Christ. We love because he first loved us, and your ability to love others, and therefore that's foundational to everything you do in the Spirit, flows out of a revelation, a growing revelation of how intensely, how passionately, how unconditionally, how furiously he loves you and me. And that comes out of your personal relationship with Jesus. And you see, therefore, what you discover that over and over again, as I get older over and over and over and over again, I discover this thing. My one priority, my chief priority is to love him. I pray this prayer all the time. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, and I want you to live your life through me with all of your might. And everything else flows out of that. Let me read a scripture to you from Acts. When I was in the Philippines, on their roads, they have these lines in the middle of the road, but they don't really mean anything. They're just suggestions that nobody honors. And so one of the things I love about writing these notes, they don't really mean anything. Because I'm like on page 4. I'm supposed to be on page 1. But and just to, again, remind you that we could do this conference for weeks. We don't have that kind of time. Well, I just want to release you in some things, create some foundations in you, you know, and so that you can be activated and go forth with the heart of Christ. The prophetic ministry is all about Jesus. Right? The spirit of prophecy is what? The testimony of Jesus. That scripture can be interpreted several ways, but one thing for sure it means, it's just another one of the expressions of Jesus. I get tickled with charismatics too all the time, praying the armor of God. It's Jesus. All those expressions of the armor are Jesus. It's all Jesus. That he might have centrality, Colossians 1, in all things. So this is a verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 11. And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Now, I can talk about charismatics because I am one. I've been pastoring them for a long time. And so I want us to be bug-eyed, crazy, radical, spirit-filled, charismatic people. But we need to get the horse before the cart. And usually if I would read this verse to a charismatic group, they'd go, oh, yeah, man, that's what I'm going after. I want to be walking such an anointing that there's handkerchiefs and aprons. Those kind of things happen in my life. You may have shared this story before, and I won't do it really. Scott Howard, myself, we were in Uganda, in eastern Uganda, in Mbali. The Ebola thing broke out. This is like 8 years ago when it broke out over in western Uganda. We were in eastern Uganda. And so we felt like we were pretty safe, and we were checking in with all that. I promised Scott that if it came east, we'd leave. And it came east. As a matter of fact, we discovered it was in a hospital. Two people, they thought, had it like 2 blocks from us. And so they put out this bulletin over the news that says you can't hug people, you can't touch them, even if they're family members, because it's transmitted that way. It's also transmitted airborne. I just won't say that yet, but it is. And so our whole thing, God had told us, I want you to lay hands on people. I want you to touch them. I want them to know that you love them. And so we had two more churches to go to. The bishops tried to get us to leave because they were concerned for us. God told us to stay. And we went to these last two churches. And as we were driving there, the Lord reminded me of this verse. And I had this handkerchief that was dirty, not from blowing my nose. Handkerchiefs are not for blowing your noses in. This is one of my important visions in life. Don't blow your nose in a handkerchief and stick that back in your pocket. I'm not going to shake your hand or give you a hug. Kleenexes are for blowing your nose. Then you throw them away. Handkerchiefs like wiping your face, that kind of thing. You with me? So I had this handkerchief that was dirty from sweating. And I just cut it up in several pieces. And in the middle of this bamboo thatched roof place, there was in the middle of each one was like this important load-bearing plunk of bamboo. And what we did, we just talked about the kingdom. We preached what we would preach. And we tacked a handkerchief there. We anointed it with oil and then told them the story of this and said, look, if for 6 months, that's what the Lord said to tell them, if you will just come and touch this handkerchief, you'll be healed. And people, everybody who came up and touched the handkerchief got healed. And one place, we had to leave. There were several people who were late getting there. There was one person who couldn't hardly walk and one person that was partially blind. There was a couple other things. And we left. They told them the story and they touched that and sort of like the Holy Spirit fell. They got healed. The whole little village, God began to move. But that's an example of that. And what a cool story that is to tell. And charismatics, if you read them this verse, they're going, oh yeah, that's what I'm after, man. Oh God, do that thing in me. Give me that anointing. Give me that anointing. And not even notice the most important thing in these two verses. And God was performing extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Now go after that one. And the handkerchiefs and other stuff will come and take care of itself.
Amen.
Learn how to let God, how Jesus, how to let Him live His life through you. Christianity is a person. Christianity isn't easy. Christianity isn't hard. Christianity is impossible. Right. If you haven't discovered how to carry His presence and allow Christ to live His life through you, it's all going to be flesh, self-effort, and hype. And everybody around you sees it. Though you don't think they do. Because you have to say they're healed when they're not. You have to say this when it really isn't. Because you got to keep the story going. Here's the deal. Here's the important part here, is that Paul understood that he was in Christ, that Christ was in him, and it was through him that Jesus Christ performed Christianity. And therefore, Jesus will do all the things he's always done. Remember Acts? When Luke wrote the book of Acts, referring back to the Gospel of Luke, he said, O Theophilus, the Gospel of Luke was about all those things that Jesus began to do and teach. Well, the obvious intimation is, now that I'm going to write you all about all the things that Jesus continues to do and teach through you and me. No, that's you and me, right? Not you and me. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's the most important thing, Christ-likeness. How to learn, how to abide in Jesus, how to appropriate the very life of Christ. I don't give a hoot if people get healed because they take some cloth from your body and you can't stop losing your temper with your wife. Or criticizing your husband, or just life. See, Jesus gave us the model. In John 13, it says, knowing that he had come from the Father and the Father had given all things into his hands, he got down his hands and knees and washed their dirty feet, including one that he knew was going to betray him. And the Scripture makes very clear that it was the Father who did the works through Jesus. It's Jesus who does the Christian life through us. But it took everything that the Father has that was his to get down on his hands and knees and wash dirty feet. In the end, that's where the anointing has got to flow from. The river gets bigger. But if you don't know how to let Jesus live his life through you in everyday stuff, that's supernatural. That's miraculous. That's where it begins. And then when you come to somebody who's sick or demon-possessed or whatever, that's just another thing that Jesus is big enough for.
Good.
Now, is it exciting to get to that place? Yes. But I'm going to tell you this, after being married all these years, and seeing a lot of people get healed. We just came back from Africa, and the team that was with us, we saw over 1,500 people get healed, over 1,000 in 2 days. of the hundreds of people, and I'm not the most, I don't flow in that anointing as much as most of my team members do. Part of my calling is to facilitate those trips so that they can release a broader expression of Christ-likeness. Oh, Jesus does this stuff too? Yes. But it's a bigger miracle for me, knowing my flesh, to not get impatient at home than to see the other. That's a miracle. The whole Christian life's supernatural. And let me just say this to you. Hopefully you're going to learn a lot of things or have re-emphasized things you already know. But if you get what I'm saying right now, that'll be the most important thing you'll ever learn in your Christian life. Because if you live for miracles, there are those moments when those things aren't happening in the external and you're going to settle into misery. Jesus is your victory over sin, over self, in situations, and facing Satan's oppressive works in the lives of other people. He's all that. It's Him. This is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about Him. God was performing extraordinary miracles. That's the thing that fascinates me. Okay. If I can tap into that, if I can steward that, if I can discover how to let Jesus Christ live His life through me every waking moment, and my theology leaves room for healing these kind of people in this kind of situation, of course He'll do it. Which is a harder thing for Him to do? Conquer sin in my heart? Or conquer disease in a person's body? Okay? Enough for that. Therefore, reality is that His presence and cultivating His presence is to be our great priority. I love this verse from Psalm 68. And this is all foundational. Psalm 68, verse 8. Now, I'm not going to read the italic words. I'm going to read you just what it says. The earth quaked and the heavens dropped at the presence of the Lord. You see, what we're after corporately is His presence. Because when we get in His presence, when we walk in His presence, what I'm after personally is abiding in His presence. When that happens, the heavens drop. And you live in an environment of signs and wonders all the time. Because that's how He lives. He's just supernatural. He lives a signs and wonders life. The signs and wonders of loving those you live with when nobody else is watching, when you don't have an audience. The signs and wonders when you get the message in the mail and nobody's watching how spiritual you are. How are you stewarding that moment? It's the heavens drop at the presence of the Lord. I believe that. That's what it says. And so I'm going after His presence. I want to carry His presence. I want to allow His presence. You know, we've said this before, but this is to me, over these years, what I've come to understand what revival is the presence of Jesus resting on you or on a place or on an environment, a geographical area, tangibly. The presence of Christ reigning in you victoriously. And the presence of Christ released through you supernaturally. That's in ministry. And when you see that happening in a culture, then they're walking in revival. It's all about the presence. Amen? Because let me just tell you, fullness of joy is not found in signs and wonders, if that's your great priority. In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm 16. And especially the seeing gifts are particularly cultivated as you marinate in His presence. We'll talk about that some again today, about just being in the secret place. Intimacy always cultivates His adequacy. Especially true when we talk about the seeing gifts. How we doing? Alrighty. Here's some more beginning stuff. Don't get anxious. I want to talk about visions. We'll talk about it. It doesn't take long to do that. You understand? That's not really hard. If somebody's made you think it's really hard, you got to be an expertise. Well, there are books. Buy the books. The problem is you can't carry those around with you either. You know? But they're good. And there are good teachers out there. And we'll talk to you about them. But it's really not hard. We're not, God didn't call us rocket scientists. He calls us sheep.
Amen.
We're very simple, very dependent. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not blessed are the geniuses. Thank God for geniuses. You with me? But it's not hard. That's one thing. It's not hard. If you'll believe it's not hard before you leave here, you'll be flowing in the seeing gifts. Again, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, especially might prophesy, and that's part of prophetic gifting. Everybody can see visions. Everybody can dream dreams. And they're not hard to interpret. But they do force you to be in His presence. Alrighty? God's a communicator. Listen to some of the titles of Jesus. He's called the Word. That's about accessibility. He says He's a door. That's about accessibility. In Revelation chapter 1, when John, this 92-year-old man, he says he heard the voice. He refers to himself as the voice. That's about accessibility. That God would step out of eternity into time and become so vulnerable, become so small, as He would be a little baby given to the hands of some poor kids themselves, just so He could have contact with us, just so that we can encounter Him, just so He can have a relationship with us. Again, let me just ask this question. Why didn't He just start over in the garden? There were just two of them. You know what I'm saying? There's just two. That's not very many to God. Just start over again. Just kill them. Two of them. It's just two of them. But the problem is, it says in Romans chapter 8, those who He foreknew, He predestined. Uh-oh. He already knew you in His heart. He was already in love with you. It wasn't just about the two. It was about the two whatever trillion through history that He was already in love with. It was too late for Him to turn back. God is love. Catherine Siena talks about the madness of God, which is His love that drove Him to the cross. And again, that's why from the cross in John, this one who put His head on the breast of Jesus, He's the one who's referred to the Beloved. At one point, He was called one of the sons of thunder. But in John chapter 13, from that point forward, five different times, John refers to himself as a disciple whom Jesus was always loving. It's because he heard the heartbeat of Christ. He laid his head on the breast of Jesus and he heard not the physical heartbeat, but the heartbeat of Jesus. And again, that's why at the cross, every disciple fled, including John. But having fled, he stopped at some point and went back and stood with the women at the foot of the cross. Why John? Because in that place of laying his head on the breast of Jesus, he carried that heartbeat with him, and at some point running from the cross, he stopped, I believe, remembered. Of course, that's how far his love would take him. Of course, he would do this. And he went back and stood there. And the result of it was Jesus gave him the most precious things to care for. Let me just say this to you. Those are the people that Jesus gives his most precious things to. That includes ministries and gifts. Are those who carry the heartbeat of Jesus. Nothing was more precious to Jesus than his mother. And it was to John he said, "Behold, my mother," because John, perfect love, had cast out fear. And John, in the book of Revelation, he's the one who said that he's the voice. Because John knew, John knew, and we talk about the incarnation, how important it was to him to be with us, to love us, to be loved back by us. And at the cross, when Jesus said, "I thirst," it wasn't because he was physically thirsty. Jesus knew he was going to be in the presence of the Father really soon. His physical thirst was irrelevant. What Jesus expressed was the endless and infinite thirsting heart of God for love. When he said, "It's finished," it wasn't just about your debt paid in full. It was about, "Father, we've done it," especially during this last week. "We've showed the whole world how much we love them and how far we're willing to go." And he said, he cried out, "Having accomplished all things, having satisfied by his shed blood, the propitiation, the sacrifice," Jesus cried out and said, "I thirst." The barrier now removed, the thirsting heart of God to love and to heal fallen and broken humanity and to be loved back by us. That's who he is. Yeah, he's a communicator. It says in Deuteronomy 8 that we live by the words that are always proceeding out of his mouth. You know, God's a talking God. He's a communicating God. He doesn't slumber or sleep. So he talks 24/7. And that's how we live. And if we don't know how to hear his voice, we're going to be in trouble, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing his words. In the Christian life, we live by faith. We carry the life of Jesus by faith. We release the life of Jesus by faith. We move in signs and wonders, releasing Jesus into those things by faith. We live by the words that are proceeding out of his mouth. It says in John 10:4, that his sheep, which you and I are, if you're born again, hear his voice. Do you understand that? That came with the equipment when you got born again. There was already wired in you, but it was just dysfunctional. And the moment you became born again, all that stuff got hooked up. And you're wired, and that wiring is active to hear God's voice. Every one of you can hear God's voice. And the prophetic signs and wonder, the visions and signs and symbols and dreams, that's part of hearing God's voice. As a matter of fact, over 200 times in Scripture, just dreams alone are referred to as the way God speaks. One-third of the Bible, it relates to visions and dreams as a form of God communicating his heart, his direction, his purposes. That's crazy, right? And if you don't know how to walk in that, that's a third of God's ways of speaking to us. We limit that. I want him to speak to me. I need him to speak to me. He longs to speak to me. Well, Father, just give us ears to hear.